Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the Contact Headquarters. That's right, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Whew, what a day. Standing in on this Saturday evening, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, my guests are Johnny Enoch and Rich Herity. Now, today, the United States, SpaceX, and NASA launched astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley into space from U.S. soil for the first time in over 9 years aboard the Crew Dragon. It was a great moment. I watched every second of it. I hope you did too, because the coverage was great. And this historic event, which is still ongoing as I speak to you tonight, they are chasing down the ISS, 19-hour journey after they entered orbit. But all of it was overshadowed by the protests that are continuing across our nation tonight. Now, those protests have also taken over the Twitter war with the White House, which took over the coronavirus. Now, as a member of the media, I have to drive to work. There have been so many moments over the years that I've taken that drive here to the Coast Studios, thinking about what is going on in our nation, our world, and with the responsibility of reporting on the issues that confront us, right? And this is my drive to work. Tonight's drive to the Coast Studios was definitely the strangest yet. The streets are different, and as crazy as things may have been in the past, today we are, as a nation and world, living in and through a sea of change. The news has become nearly impossible to keep up with, and just 1 week ago, the world was in lockdown. Coronavirus had stopped the planet. Today, it is all but forgotten. The story of the century has been disappeared. A week ago today, I was on the top of a mountain here in the valley, enjoying hang gliding and watching hang gliders launch off the side of this mountain. Escaped the reality of everything. Today, it's a different kind of party. Tonight's show with Johnny Enoch was in the planning stages since the news started to break out about Magé, Brazil, 2 weeks ago, when videos started to surface on the net of objects in the sky over the city that is just north of Rio that were witnessed by thousands. One video was sent to me on May 16th, showing something crashing into the hills of the city. Another showing smoke and gunshots in the hills, and dozens showing lights in the sky and others with helicopters. Most of the videos were removed and deleted from the net, suggesting a cover-up similar to Roswell. Now, a news story as big as this would in a normal world, and we're not in a normal world today, but it would get the coverage in the media that it deserves. There was a little coverage, but it was quickly buried and forgotten with all of the other headlines that are changing by the minute every day. Is the Magé, Brazil UFO incident being erased from the public record? Is it something like, you know, that is even possible today with cell phones and the internet? You wouldn't think so, but the quick answer is yes. Magé isn't in the U.S., and its isolation from national media makes it very easy to make the story go away. Roswell, let's not forget, was silenced in a day, and it was forgotten until 1980. Now, tonight, we will present all of the evidence surrounding Magé and the timeline of events. And later on tonight, live from Australia, journalist Rich Herity will be with us for the first time. And I will present the latest in the research and a recent study with DMT and possible contact with entities in another parallel world. For myself and everybody here at Coast to Coast AM, I want you to enjoy the show tonight. But above all, I want you to be safe and be smart. If there is anything breaking during tonight's broadcast, I will certainly bring it to you. I want everybody to be aware that I know that with our 600 stations across the country, Coast to Coast broadcast on your local news network. Okay, so that is important to us here and is important to everybody listening across this nation. So turn down the lights and get ready. This is another Saturday night event here on Coast to Coast AM. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You know the drill. Twitter is always live to my left. I've been hanging out on Twitter all night before the show. And any questions or comments, post them right there. Maybe your tweet will get read on the air. Enjoy the bumper music tonight. Yeah, it's an easy theme, and you can figure it out. And I'll open up the phones later on tonight with both Johnny and Rich, because it is another Saturday night here on Coast to Coast. I want all of you to join in on the conversation. So let's do this, man. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my first guest, Johnny Enoch. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. As all of you know, I'm just hanging out on Twitter during the breaks, and I really enjoy the conversation over there. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Maje, Brazil UFO incident that went down. Well, we're going to cover the timeline tonight. It started officially on the internet about 2 weeks ago, but things actually happened earlier than that. We're going to be going through all of that tonight with Johnny Enoch, who is a clinical hypnotherapist, an esoteric researcher, and megalithic investigator from Vancouver, Canada. Not only has he been researching extraterrestrial phenomena and occult subjects all of his life, but after witnessing a series of unexplainable events while growing up, his search for answers had led him on journeys and adventures all over the world. His investigations reveal an intelligent blueprint found within our ancient religions and symbolism while exploring quantum physics, the multiverse, and ETs. And I would like to welcome to Coast AM, Johnny Enoch. Johnny, good evening, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. Thanks for having me back. And always good to talk to you and the Coast listeners.
Yeah, absolutely, Johnny. And this is a pretty strange period for not only the world, but the United States and Canada, where you are, is just north of us. And the media has been managing to manipulate headlines in the news over, forever. But over the last few weeks, it's gotten pretty crazy. And this Maje, Brazil, which Maje is just north of Rio de Janeiro for everybody out there. This UFO incident started to grab headlines and blew up on Twitter, and these videos surfaced and was almost immediately censored and removed. Are we seeing a cover-up with Maje, Brazil?
I think so, Jimmy, because, you know, you pointed it out that in the media we've seen so much censorship lately, and not only, you know, of certain agendas and issues that we see have certain twists and angles, but, I mean, this debate has been going all over the place with people that will post something, or they'll put out a video, and all of a sudden it will become sanitized from the net. And I think that's one of the most suspicious factors about this case, is that as soon as it starts surfacing on Reddit, as soon as the videos start coming out, we see at the beginning this thing looks very credible. Some of the videos look like your traditional cell phone captured shaky images of movements in the sky and orbs and whatnot. And after it gets removed, it gets sanitized, especially on Reddit, and we see a subreddit pop up. We see these other videos come out subsequently that look a little bit more hokey. It looks like this, like a plate that's been there. It seems like there's a cover story version of it that gets put out right after the originals get pulled.
Yeah, and I find that interesting because the similarities between Roswell and Maje, I think, are right there in front of us. I would have thought that we learned enough lessons with Roswell and the way that it was covered up so quickly and virtually forgotten, right, until 1980. When people question if this is even possible, we can always point at Roswell. But here we are in a modern context where this stuff is live on the internet and being posted, and the cover-up seems to be real. Is it possible to do it today?
It's absolutely possible. And you and I both know, Jimmy, we both know that Brazil is like the Disneyland of UFOs. Any of the ufologists that have come along, and I'm talking about the greats, like Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens, to the Gordon Crichtons, to the Tim Goods, they've been looking over into those parts. They had a Roswell incident out there that was already covered up before that people were talking about. In Virginia, or I always pronounce that one wrong, Vagina, out in Brazil, where that case was covered by not only Dr. Roger Lear, it was covered by Heine Massad and so many others going back in 96, where we hear about a very similar incident out there where there's a crash and beings that were allegedly recovered and people getting sick and all kinds of strange stuff. So there are no strangers to this out there.
Now, the letter that was sent to me was also sent to Linda Moultonhowe, and I have since forwarded on to you. But this letter has got some strange dates in it, in that we started to see things in the middle of May surface on the internet about this.
Yes.
But there is a line in this letter that I'm going to read now that is very interesting. It says, on April 20th, 2020, military satellites in the United States detected a strong presence of unexplained aerial phenomena activities in some states of Brazil. Now, this didn't happen in the middle of May, and apparently the United States military was well aware of things nearly a month prior to the videos being posted on the internet. What did you make of things when you saw that, where the military from the United States was directly involved and had reached out to Brazil?
Well, I wasn't surprised when I saw that, Jimmy, because I've been getting similar reports around the world from friends in various places. You know, even out in areas like Mauritius in the Indian Ocean, I have a British lawyer friend there named J.P. Hagg, and he's always given me updates about things that are happening near places like Diego Garcia. Do you know where that is?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so that's in the Chagas Archipelago for everyone listening. It's near India, near Madagascar. Well, out there in this Diego Garcia, this is this little airstrip out in the middle of nowhere in the Indian Ocean. We know that NASA was using it for these emergency shuttle landings, and that was back since 77 and going into 81 for certain missions. And it's very geospecifically located near the Middle East and Asia. So there are various military uses, and it has an underground component. Well, there have been lots of different things and talk going back and forth from diplomatic areas that I've been told about, that they're very concerned on activity that's coming in and out of our airspace and around our solar system, that Space Force has moved into there. And so these scans in our airspaces and this increased awareness of that isn't just in Brazil. So the fact that we're getting reports like this, when I read this line in the email, this is something I've been hearing all over the place.
Now, it was the next day on April 21st, 2020, the United States, this is also quoting from this letter, the United States Department of Defense, following international protocols determined by NATO, advised the Brazilian Ministry of Defense and the Brazilian Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Armed Forces to intensify military air patrolling in the Rio de Janeiro region. How do you think the United States knew that this activity was going to be located in Brazil?
Well, yeah, they're not only scanning these areas and using advanced forms of radar, but most certainly they have their eyes on those areas. I think that those are hot spots, Jimmy. There's no other explanation.
And what do you make of the timeline of events, Johnny, leading up to this? Because the dates are specific here, of course, April 20th and 21st, and then May 1st, where the radars really started to concentrate on things. And then, of course, May 12th, when all of the activity started to happen above Maje.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be a changeover with something that's happening again in the movements of these things. Of why are they coming into that area with increased action? I have been told before that, you know, going back into what Wendell Stevens was looking at in these areas, that there is huge UFO activity of coming and going in potential areas that have underground bases there, like the Mato Grosso plains and whatnot over in Brazil. So if they are expanding their operations, you know, perhaps there's UFOs coming there because they're eyeing these places up. They're doing expansion. Maybe our military efforts are on a defense purpose to look at that, to monitor it, and to see if, you know, they need to be redirected.
Now, there are also reports out of Maje that there were three beings aboard this craft. We've heard and seen videos of a shootout that was occurring in the hills. You can see the smoke coming out of the trees. Something was going on. And that these three entities were transported by the Space Force back to the United States. What do you make of that?
Well, I'll tell you, Jimmy, this is an area when we look at these subjective cases on eyewitnesses and what people have seen, that, you know, we can look at the credibility of the witnesses and what they see. If you look at the great ufology expert that's out in Brazil, if you look at AJ Javard, he's looked at a lot of these cases and said that he's not sure if he finds much credibility in them. But I have a hard time believing that people are going to make this up completely. There's just too much pointing to the fact that a lot of the people in that area were initially very shaken up. And when someone tells you that they've seen beings, when they've seen, you know, extraterrestrials, it's because they've, you know, this has shocked them at the core, that there's something there that they want to tell the story. They want to get it out there. I definitely take it serious, because especially the type of beings we're getting described, we've seen and heard reports of those types of beings in that area and around those areas before. And based on the previous cases that involve that, I can see why the military would get involved and why they would act so swiftly and why they would want to cover this up very quickly.
Now, this email also, now there is transcripts of some radio chatter with the military down in Brazil, too, as well. And everything indicates, and according to this email, that the United States Department of Defense ordered a general to deploy 20 Special Forces soldiers to the region, being 10 from the United States Space Force and 10 from the Space Aggressor 26th Squadron. And the commanders are even listed in this email. It seems to be very, very specific, doesn't it?
It most certainly does, Jimmy. And from everything I've gathered from talking to people and contacts out there, it does most certainly seem that there was a real incident that took place at night. It was a very serious one. There was a military response. There were areas that were shut off. There were people that were turned away from these areas. So we know something happened. We know that there was smoke. We know that there was a loud bang, that they obviously responded. So again, we can't deny these facts. There's something big that took place.
Where would the United States transport three beings to?
See, that's a very good question, Jimmy. That's a very good question. And you know, again, when you look at these parts, Central and South America, when you go to those sorts of areas, I've heard certain stories about how ET crashes are handled. And one of those stories before that I've heard before, and I know you heard this story, it's from a dear friend of ours. I had heard from Daniel Brinkley not too long ago. And he kind of gave me an idea on how ET crash retrievals go over there.
All right, let me jump in. We'll talk about Danny and Brinkley and what happened down there right after this short break. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch, we're talking about the Magé, Brazil UFO incident. Went down in the middle of May 2 weeks ago. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. I am your guest host, fill-in host, Jimmy Church. On this Saturday night, we are discussing the Magé, Brazil UFO incident that took place second week of May, a couple of weeks ago, down in just north of Rio de Janeiro. Now, we'll pick up on all of this when we come back after the break with our guest, Johnny Enoch. I want to let everybody know that we'll be taking your phone calls at the top of the hour, and this is a very important case that has been covered up. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. I'm hanging out on Twitter during the break. I'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM, Saturday night. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Going to be taking your calls at the top of the hour. Get ready for that. Our guest is Johnny Enoch, and we're talking about the Magé, Brazil UFO incident that is, well, for all intents and purposes, ongoing right now in Magé, which is just north of Rio de Janeiro. Now, Johnny, we have presented to us a timeline with dates of events involving the U.S. military and the Brazilian military with things this specific. How easy is it for us to follow up on the facts and to investigate?
It's very easy for us to follow up on the facts and investigate. We just got to follow the breadcrumbs. We have to do our due diligence like we would with any good investigation, Jimmy, which I know you and the Coast listeners are well accustomed to. But let me just say this, Jimmy, before we go any further. When we were on the break, I really got to appreciate your picks and music. I mean, the bumper music is so good that I was thinking to myself, if the aliens flying over Rio de Janeiro were listening to anything, it's got to be the bumper music to this show.
Well, but I appreciate that, Johnny. And on a serious note, and I really do appreciate that, the reason why I bring up how easy it is to investigate with these kinds of specifics is because of what Danny and Brinkley and his experience down in South America. His experience down there is nearly identical to what we are talking about right now in Magé. Crash retrieval, entities recovered, military is involved, and we have eyewitnesses. And in this case, not only real-time with Magé, but with Danny and Brinkley and others. How easy is it to investigate?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Jimmy. So, first of all, you know, to give the Coast listeners some context, in my experience, in my travels over to Central and South America and going to all these parts, you know, when I've been there with Brian Forrester and Arini, they've seen UFOs over Paracas. Wilco, the medicine man that we travel with up there, he's seen UFOs come up out of Lake Titicaca, which is 12,500 feet above sea level. And in that part of the world, it's very commonplace. And much like you, Jimmy, I have lots of friends that are very good ufologists. I have a publisher friend, Ash Staunton, or another fellow I told you about before, Harry Challenger, the publisher of Flying Saucer Review. They give me tons of ufology cases just like this that are all up from Brazil, which is a gold mine. But the one case that stands out to me that comes from a dear friend of ours, who you mentioned, Daniel Brinkley, who's also a dear friend of this show, Coast. And why this is so significant is at the time when he's told us this case, he told us this case after his recent open heart surgery. And you remember how you and I talked to him. We were on the phone with him, both you and I as well. Remember when his heart was only operating 12 to 15%?
I do.
And this is something that he normally wouldn't talk about. This is literally like a deathbed confession. I had asked him, because we talk regularly, he and I, and I had asked him, I said, Daniel, in all your travels, I mean, like, come on, Dan. I'm like, you've been to Peru for 31 times. You've been to Egypt 27 times. You've traveled the Middle East with Zachariah Sitchin. I said, have you ever encountered aliens? And he said, Johnny, he said, well, you know, I used to be involved with VITA, Volunteers for Intermediate Development Assistance, over in that part of the world. And, you know, he's met up with the likes of the Supreme Director of Antiquities. He was good friends with him. He said back in 1983, he had an encounter, a face-to-face encounter with one of our visitors. And it's exactly like what you and I are talking about in Maje. He said, the Supreme Director of Antiquities says, you know, do you want to see an alien? And at the time, Danyon goes, well, yeah, of course I want to see an alien, because he hadn't seen one before. And they said, well, come with us. We found something recently. We found something that's going to be interesting to you. So they go to this building, this secluded building back then. They go in, and there's a little room sectioned off, and there's glass in front of this window-like area, and there's what looks like an operating table. And he tells me there's this little being that's a short guy. He's about 3'7". 3'8". He's pale and has a pinkish color. He says he's severely burned. His foot was burned and his arm was broken. Danyon said something very surprising to me, which is not unlike the people I've talked to, not unlike the people you've talked to that have had these experiences. He said that he wasn't overcome with shock that he was looking at an extraterrestrial. He had already come to that conclusion. This being was not of this world. He was overcome with this emotional compassion, this symphony that of feelings that were overcoming him, that he could telepathically, or better yet, telempathically feel the fear that this being was going through, that this being was telling him that he was injured, that there was, you know, he missed his family, and he just wanted to help him. He wanted to reach out, and he wanted to do more. But all of a sudden, he was being alerted that someone was coming. They heard the gravel moving. There was a Jeep coming up the driveway, the area where they were, and they were rushed out. Everybody was yelling in Spanish. They had to get out of there. And he said they had to run out of there as there is a military commander, someone coming in there to take over. So they said they ran out the back door. But he says he came face to face with one of these beings. And how the being was treated is that they had some, you know, minor medical stuff there that they were secluding him. They obviously had a protocol for this, but from what I've found when I'm traveling through those parts, is they're not like us over here. Over here, we go, yeah, maybe there's aliens, you know. We saw a picture of one, a UFO one time. There's something not over there. Everybody believes in them. Everybody's seen UFOs. It's a different world over there.
What I find interesting about Maje is that the United States, apparently, and according to this email with all of this direct information in it, that the United States just took over this crash site and the investigation. We laid out in the timeline going through May 12th. Yes. It says here that on May 13th, the United States military disembarked at a Brazilian military air base in the state of Sao Paulo, and traveled in FAB planes to a military base in Rio de Janeiro. The operation was named Oregon Range. And it continues to say that the Brazilian military personnel only provided logistical support, that the United States military personnel informed us that the visits of these objects were ongoing here on planet Earth. It's very interesting how the Brazilian, well, Chile and Argentina, which is very open about the UFO subject, in this case, handed everything over to the United States military, where it's virtually being disappeared.
Exactly, Jimmy. And the thing is that when you look at these places, these very strategic places that have a lot of high traffic, there's a lot of activity. And there's certain places in the UK like that. There's certain places, as we know, as we're talking about South America, that what we call Space Force. And I know that, you know, you've been posting the last little while that you were checking out the new Netflix comedy with Steve Carell that's called Space Force, that kind of makes light of all this sort of stuff. But I don't think we can dismiss it as much as people would like to joke at this thing and say, oh, maybe they're just shooting down asteroids. You know, maybe it's about looking at rogue satellites. I think that's nonsense. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show today, Elon Musk just changed history. SpaceX just changed history. We are moving into a new area, and it's coming out very, very quickly. You know, again, I have lawyer friends and scientist friends that tell me that one of the greatest things you can do now, if you're a lawyer, one of the big things, Jimmy, and they're teaching this in London, is you can take space law. If you know any great scientists out there, and I was even talking to Deep Prasad about this. He said, in the scientific community now, everybody wants a space lawyer. So what does that tell us? It tells us that our UN, our governments, our politics, they're moving into space. We're talking about space ethics. Our militaries are moving into space. And this is just a sign of what's to come. We can no longer keep it in the shadows anymore.
There is also something I find very interesting, and I think I'm going to go ahead and go a little more public with this. In this letter, in this email transmission, we're given two sets of GPS coordinates, which I have forwarded to you.
Again, I saw
that. Yes, very, very specific information. And then there is this. In the timeline is this very curious line in this email, which states, on May 14th, 2020, the beings, the ET, the extraterrestrials, along with all their displacement devices, and that's the key, displacement devices were transported to a U.S. military base. What is, Johnny, a displacement device?
Well, I mean, we can only think that maybe they have the ability to maybe be going around, going along, and change their harmonic resonance, and maybe they can disappear or reappear, or maybe they can throw things off or give, you know, sort of a holographic projection. There's all sorts of different ways that they could utilize these sorts of technologies that are far beyond us. But, Jimmy, this comes back to the idea of, we know in that area there is this military-controlled firearms factory. We know in that particular area of Maje that there are sorts of military drills, that there are particular interests in there. What's to say that we don't have sorts of electromagnetic weapons? What's to say that we don't have defense systems over there? I mean, the whole Roswell incident, we go back to 48, we look at, those are very suspicious circumstances that we see those kind of crashes go down. So I think that it's very easy to say that, hey, we could have a secret space force base there with defense technologies.
I have researched this subject for the better part of 40 years, and I have never seen a reference of displacement devices. It's a very curious and, again, direct statement to have in this email that says something. It says something direct. And I agree with you. Displacement devices must have something to do with projection, teleportation, possibly cloaking, maybe. But it's a very, very interesting term to have in this email when it's never been used before. But it looks like the military is using this verbiage, displacement devices. Now, before we head to the break, there was one last statement in here that I want to read to the audience, and it says this. All U.S. military personnel have already left Brazil. Only Brazilian military helicopters are now patrolling the region. After this incident, there were no new significant reports of unexplained phenomena sightings in the region. Now, I deduce a few things from this. One, there haven't been new sightings, and we don't have any new video being posted on the internet after these dates of May 14th. There's that part of it. The other part is that what video is out there now, the newer video, is just that. It's military helicopters pouring over the city and the mountains that surround Mage. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I've most certainly seen the reports again and again about the helicopters chasing lights, and I'd have to agree with you. It's sort of the aftermath of this situation. I also think subsequently that any of the footage that has come out after the incident, you know, there's been all kinds of footage from other unknown sources and other situations. There's been really bogus-looking footage that doesn't resemble the original. I just think that moving forward, there really is the issue dying down out of that. But, you know, Jimmy, I think more and more is going to come to the light with people that were eyewitnesses that right. will come out with it.
Yeah, that's what I am waiting for. Myself and other researchers have been reaching out to any eyewitnesses, both civilian or anybody in the military that would like to step forward and speak about this. We need this. I think we're very close and in danger of getting this very important story absolutely squashed, and we're going to see another Roswell. I think that we're right on the brink of that, don't you?
Oh, definitely. Most certainly. I mean, this thing isn't going to die down as easy, especially when you have people that are being silenced, when you have an issue that's being censored. It usually has the opposite effect is what we've seen. And that's the case with Roswell. I mean, look, they tried to call Roswell a weather balloon, and we have a McDonald's with a UFO on top of it, a UFO-shaped bank and a museum. So who knows what this will turn into.
Yeah, and how do we move forward? Do you have your contacts down in Brazil? Not only trying to get to the bottom of this, but are they willing to continue to share information?
I do. I mean, I have contacts that are pouring over the facts and the information. The problem we have in these videos so far is that the videos are in Portuguese. I mean, so you can hear little bits and pieces. But other than listening to Sergio Mendes, I don't have a huge Portuguese vocabulary. So I've been relying on friends to do translations and bring information in. But you know, this email, I want to add this, Jimmy, that this the language in this email that you just read out to the Coast listeners, it's a very serious language. And, I mean, from the GPS coordinates and the specifics, and, I mean, it looks as though it is written by a qualified military personnel.
I've got to take a break right here. You are right, and we're going to take phone calls when we come back. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch. And by the way, I didn't mention the specific military personnel that are named in this email. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM.